Good afternoon, everybody. If you came in just a little bit late, my name is Lance. I serve as a lead pastor. This is Pastor Richard.
How you guys doing?
Pastor Richard, you know, I noticed, if you guys didn't notice, Pastor Richard actually walked up here without something today, without his cane.
Come on, champ. I kicked the walker to the wall and the cane to the curb.
I love first service. First service, somebody called it a walking stick. I said, champ, no, it's a cane. Pastor Rich, you know, here at Bethel, we have a Facebook page that really keeps us up to date with all that God is doing here at our church. Listen, we want you to go on that page because we are interacting with you on that page. We have something every day of the week. Today is Next Step Sunday. So after service today, our media team will post a really a next step for all of us to take. We also have Motivation Monday.
Taco Tuesday.
No, Testimony Tuesday, not Taco Tuesday. Worship Wednesday. What's Thursday? I forget, Nicole. Throwback Thursday, where we cover the points that were given to keep you up to date in our messages. And the best day is Fun Fact Friday. Fun Fact Friday. In fact, this past Friday was all about Pastor Ron.
I wish we had that picture up
there. I know, I did too, man. Pastor
back
Ron.
When Pastor Ron had a mullet.
We talked about how Pastor Ron used to be a country music singer, if you guys didn't know that. So that was a fun fact. The other fun fact was best about you, champ. That Pastor Richard used to work at a tanning salon. Now, that's the funniest fact ever.
There is one correct. I was an assistant manager at a tanning salon.
You're on your way up, though, brother.
I was getting paid.
But we also have something very exciting coming up. Pastor Richard's going to share it with you.
Now, if you guys, all of you guys walked through the door and you received a card that looked like this, if you could take this out just for a second. You know, many of you guys know we do something called our night of worship. We've got something that's more like a bigger version of our night of worship. It's coming up on Friday, May the 19th, and it's called Festival of the Nations. You guys may have heard that we are a multicultural, multi-ethnic church, and we represent that every single Sunday here at Bethel Community Church. And what we're doing on Friday, May the 19th, is this thing called Festival of the Nations is where we really celebrate the nations of the earth. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said to go into all the world.
Yeah.
And we believe that. We go on mission trips here, but we also believe that we should be reaching the nations of the earth right here in Clarksville at Fort Campbell and at Austin Peay State University. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to have an African drum line. We're going to be having a Korean choir.
That's going to be cool, the African drum line and Korean choir.
We're also going to be having some Hispanic worship and so much more. All of you guys are invited. And just to let you know, it's open to the public. We've advertised this on Facebook, our Instagram site. So you guys can go there and share this, please, with as many people as you can. Our goal is to fill this entire room up. And also, we'll be having a parade of flags. And this is really where we need your help. If you're from another nation, another country, what we are asking you to do is take one of these connection cards on the seat back directly in front of you and to fill it out just to put your name, your telephone number, and on the back, the country or the nation that maybe you're from or your parents are from. And we want your help to make the Festival of the Nations a great event right here in the city of Clarksville.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So we do need your help. Again, if you're from another nation, fill out that connection card. Thank you so much, Pastor Richard, May 19th and May 21st. Well, guys, What? There, Pastor Ron. That was Fun Fact Friday. Pastor Ron, that's Pastor Ron.
Check out his dude.
Come on, champ. Looking young, brother.
Looking young. He looks like an albino Al Jarreau.
This is your first time here with us today. We're beginning a new series here at Bethel entitled The Promise. So you picked a great Sunday to check out Bethel. If you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to look at this promise that Jesus is going to introduce to us today. And we're going to be talking about this for the next 3 weeks. Obviously, I'm speaking today. I'm going to intro the message, and then Pastor Richard is going to come back and preach for the next 2 Sundays. And so it's interesting, before we read here in Luke chapter 24, that you think about, really, if you read your Bible in the Old Testament, leading up really to Luke chapter 24, you actually, if you could count them all, which you can't do, so it's difficult to do, but it's been done for you. There's over 6,000 promises in this word for you and I. 6,000 promises. And God being a good father, he looked across all of those 6,000 promises. And after Jesus had died, risen, and about to go about to ascend back to heaven, he really asked himself the question, out of all of my promises, 6,000, what is the best promise, or what is the promise that my people need to follow me and to live the life I've called them to live? Kind of like a parent. Think about you if you have children, if you're a parent. If you wanted to present one thing to your children, if you could give them one thing, say you had 6,000 things at your disposal, and you were going to pick one thing, you would pick out the best thing. And this is what God the Father does through Jesus for you and I. Here we go, Luke chapter 24. We're going to begin to discover today what this promise is and how this promise actually operates in our lives as followers of Christ. Luke 24, verse 44. We know this is Jesus because why? It's written in red. That's how you know. Jesus wrote it in red. Here we go. Then he said to them, you like that, didn't you? These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, he's talking about the Old Testament, the prophets, and the Psalms, must be fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled everything written about him in the Old Testament. This is key. Next verse. Then he opened their minds to understand or to comprehend the scripture. This is what I'm hoping happens to you and I today, that through Jesus, that he opens up our minds today, that we may comprehend this promise that he has for you and I. He goes on, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead. We celebrated that last week. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And that, beginning from Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things. Here we go. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father. Wow. Upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And if you flipped over to Acts chapter 1, we actually discover this promise. And here's the promise. The promise that God the Father is sending through Christ is the promise of the Holy Spirit. Out of all of the promises that he could have given us, he chose to give us of his best. He chose to give us of who? His own Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, many of us today, when I even say the word Holy Spirit, oftentimes are confused. Like, who is this? Is this an it? Is it a force? Is it kind of like Star Wars? Star Wars, for the force be with you. Is that how the Holy Spirit operates? We understand when we say God the Father, we understand that term because why? We use the language of Father in today's world. So we kind of understand that. When we say God the Son, we've heard Jesus being the Son of God, so that makes sense to us. But then you hear the term God the Holy Spirit. Who is that? See, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, friends. Here at Bethel, we believe that we serve a Trinitarian God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That they're three, but they're yet one. And we're going to see how that kind of operates today. And so, but oftentimes we get confused. Not because of the three different names, but oftentimes also because of the name itself, Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like scary movies. I hate scary movies. I don't watch scary movies. If I'm flipping on my DirecTV and I see a scary movie that says horror, man, I skip over it fast. I don't even like commercials, scary movie commercials. I hate them. It drives me crazy. And the reason why is this, is because I want to get fear out of me. I don't want to put it in me. And so I don't subject myself to a horror movie or scary movies because I'm trying to have faith arise, not fear arise. People come to me and say, Pastor Lance, I struggle with fear. I'm worried. I'm anxious all the time. I say, what are you watching? Man, I love watching scary movies. I think, well, you need to stop. Stop watching that and start watching things that would encourage you, that will build you up. It could be an answer to your prayer. But the word spirit oftentimes is seen as what? Something spooky. Something that frightens us. Something that may harm us. But what we're going to see today is Jesus giving us this gift or this promise, the Holy Spirit. It's actually the opposite of that. He's not here to harm us. He's here to help you and I. And the other reason that we struggle is mostly is because maybe we've been taught wrong about the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of you have never been involved in the church before. Well, the good news is you're going to be taught correctly today. But some of us, maybe we've been involved in the church in the past and we've had wrong teaching about the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you went to a church and you saw things done in the name or the power of the Holy Spirit. And you looked at that and you thought to yourself, that's weird, that's strange, I don't want any part of that. No, for me, I grew up going to a traditional church. And so there wasn't much talk about this third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. The only time this was ever brought up is when they talked about the Holy Spirit is the person who draws you to Jesus, which he does. He is the one who draws you to Christ. You're born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is all true. But him operating in my life and functioning in my life and actually living inside of me and him counseling me, him speaking to me, was never talked about. Or I was never trained or equipped or talked to about how this third person of the Trinity operates like this. And so I got born again April 14th of 2000, and I started going to a church, our Bethel Church in Murfreesboro, which is a multicultural church just like we are here in Clarksville. And my pastor, which was Pastor Ron, he saw on screen there, that's Pastor Ron. Pastor Ron, he wanted to make sure that we were all involved in not just our church, but also we had experienced other churches. And the reason why is because when you get involved and you go to other church services, especially other church services that are from different ethnicities, what you begin to see is there's multi-expressions of ways to worship God. And so Pastor Ron wanted to make sure that we understood that there's different ways to worship God. There's different ways to praise him. There's different ways to think about him. And so we actually went to an all-black church one time. Now, if you're new here to Bethel, Pastor Richard and I, we talk about the things that we are, that ethnicities, get divided over. So we talk about white church, black church, Korean church, Hispanic church. Because we need to talk about those things as a church. Because why? We're building a multicultural church. A church that represents the book of Ephesians, which the Bible says that Jesus tore down the middle wall of separation. Really, the church is not white, black. It's everybody coming together. Amen? And so Pastor Ron took me to my first ever all-black church. Now, again, I came from a traditional all-white church. So you can imagine stepping into an all-black church. The expression of the Holy Spirit is much different, if you don't know, in an all-black church. So I'm sitting here at this black church. Man, I'm getting into it. You cannot go to a black church and not get into it. Man, I'm clapping my hands. I'm lifting my hands. I'm thinking, man, this is kind of cool. The Spirit's moving. All this great stuff is happening. But as I was experiencing all these wonderful things, I realized I got to go to the bathroom. I had to pee. And I'm sitting there trying to hold and worship God because I'm encountering God in a new way that I've never had before. I got to go. I can't hold it any longer. So I step out of the aisle, and I begin to walk to the back door. And as I walk, there were two double doors just like we have, and I walk to the back door. All of a sudden, these two ladies, two African-American ladies, Pastor Richard, they stepped out, and they were dressed nice too, brother, black suits and white gloves. I love that. They stepped out, and they stood right in front of me, right in front of the door. They said, "Sir, where are you going?" I got to go to the bathroom. They're like, "No, you don't. You're not going to the bathroom. The Spirit is moving." I was like, "What? I got to go." "No, sir." So I was like, "All right." So I had to walk back because the Spirit was moving. In the all-black church, if the Spirit is moving, guess what? You don't move. You either move with the Spirit. We definitely don't open the doors in all-black church because the Spirit, I guess, might get out. I don't know. But so I had to wait until the Spirit stopped moving. Then I could go to the restroom. But I want you to know, with all seriousness, that I experienced something new that night. Those ladies and those men began to pray for me because I was going into ministry and all that stuff, and they laid hands on me, and they began to pray for me, and I began to experience this Holy Spirit in a fresh, new way. I began to see that the Holy Spirit actually does live in me, and he wants to speak to me. He wants to guide me and direct me because God's got a great plan for all of our lives, and he has given us this precious gift, this wonderful promise for every single one of us to experience. And what we see clearly from Scripture, we're going to see this here in a moment. You can turn to John 16. We're going to see that Jesus actually is the one who gives us this gift. Now listen, Jesus, we all love Jesus. We all trust Jesus, so much so that most of us in this room have given our lives to Jesus. And maybe you have not given your life to Jesus, but if you have children, in order to ask you, hey, can I pray for your babies? You'd be like, yes, please, pray for my babies. So we all trust Jesus some way. We trust him with our lives. We trust him with our children. Can I tell you, you can also trust him with the Holy Spirit, because he is the one who gives us this wonderful gift. John 16:7, what we actually see here is Jesus telling us that it's good that he goes away, because why? The Holy Spirit will come. John 16:7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, here we go, here's our big word for us today, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So here we have Jesus, the one we are trusting, telling me, I'm going away, I'm ascending to heaven, but I'm sending a great helper. And this helper is the Holy Spirit. Now, I love this because Jesus is here introducing us into this new relationship that we're going to have with God the Holy Spirit, our helper. And I like this because if you're like me, anytime I'm meeting someone new, I love for someone who knows that person to introduce me to them. And here we have someone I trust, Jesus, saying, hey, you're about to enter into a new relationship with the third person of the Trinity, which that is who the Holy Spirit is. He's the third person of the Trinity. Again, not an impersonal force, not a it. He is a person. The third person, I'm about to introduce you to him, and he's going to help you. See, this is the very, get this, nature and role of the Holy Spirit is to help you and I. He is our helper. Now, again, I want to make sure you understand this. As we're talking about the Holy Spirit throughout this series, is that I'm not entering into a new relationship because it's not like I got three separate relationships. I got one with God the Father, one with God the Son, and one with God the Holy Spirit. That's not true. That's not biblical. Again, we believe in the Trinity. We serve a Trinitarian God. I have a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three, but yet one. I'll give you an example. When you pray to God through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Or you could say it like this. God is for us, Jesus is with us, and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. So you have to be very careful in giving the examples when talking about the Trinity, because you can very quickly enter into what's called heresy, which is unbiblical. But yet, Jesus is telling us in very simple terms, he's what? Our helper. He uses a word we all understand. He uses the word helper. The very nature and role of the Holy Spirit is to help. Let's flip over to John 14, 16 through 17. I love this. Jesus tells us, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, what? Here we go, helper. That's the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. He says, even the Spirit of truth. This is one of the names of the Holy Spirit. He's also the Spirit of truth, the one who guides us into all truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. I love what Jesus says. He says, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And this is the good news of what you and I get to experience after Jesus has risen from the dead and the finished work of the cross is Holy Spirit is not just with us, he's in us. He lives on the inside of us. Now, when the disciples, I'm sure when the disciples, when the disciples heard Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, I'm sure they were confused. Because Jesus says, hey, you know him. Now, have you ever been with somebody and they say to you, hey, yeah, we're going to go visit so-and-so, him or her. Yeah, you know him. You're thinking, I don't know him. I don't know her. What you talking about? You might, but I don't know them. I'm sure this is exactly what the disciples thought. Jesus, what are you talking about? No, you're confusing us. We do not know him. This helper. Who is he, this Spirit of truth? But Jesus, he understands what he's talking about. He knows that they do know him. They just have never recognized it. because they have heard the stories of the Old Testament. And all throughout the Old Testament, you see the Spirit of God coming upon people and doing great feats through them. For instance, King David. You think about King David. You guys know the story of David and Goliath. What do you think gave David the boldness and the confidence to run towards Goliath? I mean, here we have this 16-year-old boy running towards a 9-foot man. Do you think it was a testosterone boost that he got? No. It was the Holy Spirit coming upon him, giving him boldness and confidence to run to the battle line. You think about Elijah and Elisha, all the wonderful miracles that they performed. It was by the Spirit. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The confidence to stand and say, I will not bow down to what the king has told us to bow down to, even if we have to face the fiery furnace. I mean, they looked at that king and they said, even if he doesn't rescue us, we still will not serve you. Guess who? That was the Holy Spirit giving them the courage of a lion. Great boldness. Me standing before you today, being able to communicate this word and talk to you, Pastor Richard, other men you have up here speaking to you, women speaking to you. What is that? It's the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Yes, it's a mixture of our personalities and our giftings, but it's the Holy Spirit empowering us. So they had known him. They've heard stories about him. They just never recognized that it was him at work. Because in the Old Testament, what would happen is the Holy Spirit would come upon, he would descend upon, but he would also ascend. But for you and I as New Testament believers, because of the finished work of the cross, because of the death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension, can't forget about that, of Jesus, now the Holy Spirit doesn't just come to be with us. He comes to live in us. And guess what? He doesn't depart from us. Jesus said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. That's his Spirit with us everywhere that we go, no matter what we do. So oftentimes, as we're following Jesus, we're realizing that he is with us, but how does he help us? Let's flip over to John 14:25. John 14:25. Here we have Jesus again telling us, this is how he helps us. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, here we go, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. This is how he helps us. He teaches us all things and he brings into remembrance all things that Jesus has said. Let's look at John 15:26. Just flip over a page. Here we have Jesus telling us again how he will help us. He says, but the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, that's another name for him, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So if we put all these things together, he teaches us, he brings remembrance to all things Christ has said, and he also bears witness to Jesus. What that simply means is that the Holy Spirit, or Jesus, I'm sorry, would never allow the Holy Spirit to lead you up in a place that Jesus never intended to go himself. Because why? They are three, but yet one. They're in perfect unity, perfect harmony. And so he will always lead us into things that bless us, things that prosper us. This is how he helps us in our life. Now, if I were to ask you today, does God speak to you and I? Many of you would say, yes, I believe that God speaks. The problem that we have is, what in the world is he saying? A lot of us will say, yeah, I believe God speaks, but what is he saying to me? Pastor, that's my problem. I believe God speaks. It's in the Word. You talk about it all the time, but what is he trying to say to me? Did you know that the Holy Spirit really helps you discern what God is saying to you in your situation, in your circumstance? He speaks to us. Okay, Holy Spirit, you're my helper. You help me. Then how does he do this? See, what you see in Scripture is that you see that Jesus, oftentimes, and the Holy Spirit does the same, he speaks to us in very short, simple phrases. See, he knows he has to speak to me in short, simple phrases because he knows Pastor Lance. He says, if I got to talk to Lance in long phrases, he's going to forget. I have to speak to him in very short, my wife knows this too, very short sentences so that he can remember what I'm saying. And really, you see this all throughout Scripture. You see the Holy Spirit saying, I'm with you. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. You're not going to die. You're going to live. Don't be discouraged. You're going to make it. This is how he talks to us. Very short, simple. You're going to make it. I love you. Very short. Jesus does the same. Very short, simple phrases. You know, here at Bethel, if you've been with us for only about 2 years now, you may not know this, but this building used to be all that we had. And so there was actually two walls, one over here and one over here. And we had our children's ministry on that side and that side, and we had this little sanctuary here. So you can imagine how packed it was. And I knew, all of us as pastors knew, that God, you want to do something greater here at our church. People are coming. You want to grow us as a church. Lord, what do we do? And so we were asking God very specific questions. Lord, do we sell this property? Do we go buy another piece of property? Lord, do we go rent a building? Lord, what do we do? And as I began to pray these prayers, I heard God saying through His Spirit, by His Spirit, one simple thing. It's a very short phrase, and He said this. He said, Lance, whatever you do, do in faith. Whatever you do, do in faith. You know what I thought when I heard Him say that to me? I thought to myself, well, that doesn't help. That's what I thought. Because that's not what I was asking. I was asking what? I need specifics. Lord, what do we do? I don't need whatever you do, do in faith. That makes no sense to me. It wasn't a help at all. In fact, it discouraged me for a little bit, Pastor Rich. But you know what? As I continue to hear that, see, Jesus knows what He's doing. And He knows, or He knew, that is what I needed, faith to believe that God could do whatever I was asking Him to do. See, God was basically saying to me, Lance, listen, whatever you do, I'm going to bless. So whatever you do, just do it in faith, and I'll meet your need. I'm going to be with you. Short, simple phrases. Oftentimes, we're looking for this big, drawn-out, articulate word from God. I know in my life, it's usually not that. It's very short, very simple. 1 Kings chapter 19, we have a man named Elijah. It's actually funny because Elijah is on the run. And he's on the run from a woman. This big, great, mighty prophet is running from a woman. Her name is Jezebel. Jezebel is not trying to get Elijah because she wants to be with him. She's trying to kill him. So Elijah's scared to death. He's hiding in this mountain. God comes to him. I love what God says. Elijah, why are you here? I love God. It's so funny sometimes. He asks us the funniest questions. Why are you here? I mean, of course he knows. He's scared to death. And Elijah's like, what do you mean, why am I here? I'm running for my life. Lord, where are you? So God says, I want you to come outside, Elijah. He comes outside. He stands on the mountain. All of a sudden, these thunderous things begin to come Elijah's way. Wind, fire, man, all these mighty things. And you would think that God was in those things. But it's so interesting that the Bible clearly tells us in 1 Kings 19, it says, but God was not in the thunderous things. But yet, there came a still, small voice to Elijah. See, God, in the chaos of Elijah's life, God began to simply whisper to Elijah. By His Spirit, He began to whisper and speak very simple things to Elijah. I have found, friends, it's oftentimes in the chaos of our lives, of our jobs, trying to raise our kids, trying to love our spouse, trying to be successful in our careers, all that chaos, because it's so loud at times, that it's the whispers of God that come into our lives that bring the greatest encouragement, the greatest strength. See, God today, He's not here yelling at you, screaming at you. He's whispering to you, you're going to make it. It's all right. I'm with you. You're going to live. You're not going to die. You're going to get out of this thing. This is only a season that you're going through. This is how He talks to us. Very small, simple phrases, and oftentimes in a whisper. Then Pastor says, okay, I got it. Okay, He's my helper. I realize sometimes he most of the time just whispers to me in simple phrases, but Pastor Ron, you come on up. How do I know that it's not me coming up with these things? You ever ask yourself that question? Is this me? Or is it the enemy trying to deceive me and thinking that it's God? How do I know and be sure that it's him? You know, God is so good. He places guardrails in our lives, bumpers in our lives, boundaries in our lives to help us discern. This is God. This is his Spirit speaking you and guiding you. This is your helper, the Holy Spirit, talking to you. I'm going to give you three little things here. We're going to close. You, number one is this, is that the Holy Spirit, listen to me, will never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever, 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 never go outside of this right here. Ever. Every time he says something, it will come in line with the Word of God. This is how people get weird. This is how people go off and do things, then they say, God told me. No, God didn't tell you to do that. That was your own weird, dumb idea. And you never checked it with the Word of God. Therefore, you are suffering the consequences of your stupid idea. And what happens most of the time, sorry for using the word stupid in church, but it's just true. Most of the time, those people that do that point back at God and begin to blame him. Like it's his fault. It's not God's fault you got yourself in that. You didn't check with this right here. Again, he's three but yet one. And he dwells in line with this word right here. Another way, if you're single here today, another way you can check, is this God, is this Spirit of God my helper talking to me? Is you go to a friend. You go to someone you trust and you simply ask them, listen, this is what I think the Holy Spirit is saying to me. What do you think? Do you hear the same thing? Does this make sense to you? You share that with them. You begin to pray about it. You begin to talk about it. Because God is not in a hurry. He's not. We're in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. But oftentimes I got to slow down. I have to go to my friend and say, hey, what do you think about this? Now, if you're married, you've got the greatest sounding board sitting right beside you. Did you know that if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and it's him, guess who else he'll speak to? He will speak to your husband or your wife. Now, husbands, that's hard. Because we want to be like, no, hold on. I'm the man of this home. The Bible says, I'm the leader. I'm the head of the home. I make the decisions around here. But you can do that all you want. But you're going to find yourself in a bad situation. I cannot tell you how many times me just simply coming to my wife, Dee, and saying, hey, babe, hey, listen, I'm thinking this. I think I'm hearing this. What do you think? Now, it's difficult, men, because why? It takes humility to go to your wife and say to her, hey, what do you think? But here's the truth, men. The truth is your wife hears God better than you. Ladies, that was a perfect chance for you to say amen. Dang, I threw it up like a softball and you missed it. All right, ladies, here we go. Men, your wife hears God better than you. She just does. She does. They're designed differently than we are, men. We're designed to go and do. They're designed to sit and listen. That's why you hate doing those things. You hate sitting and listening. She won't, you know, anyways, that's something. That's another message. She hears better than you. And the reason why she oftentimes hears better and the reason why you need to come to her, hey, this is with work situations, money situations, is because of this. Now, listen, I know some of you men in here will say, Pastor, I can't share everything to my wife. You know, I got my job, I can't do that. My business, I can't do that. I understand that. That's all right. She doesn't need to hear everything. But the reason why she can be such an asset to you is because women understand relationships better than men. And most major decisions that we make as men have to do with relationships. And your wife is much better at relationships than you are. Look, just admit it. I admit it all the time. Maybe you are better than me at relationships. I need your help. Now, ladies, it's the same for you. Your husband is a sounding board to check. Are you hearing correctly? Some of the ladies, not most of y'all. I don't know y'all's situation, but ladies, if you feel like you're carrying a burden, maybe it's bringing anxiety and fear upon you. It could be because you haven't gone to your husband. And you haven't sat down with him. Now, husbands, again, you got to sit and listen, okay? You got to sit and listen. You got to be willing for her to do this. Because if she comes to you and you reject her, she feels rejected. Well, I didn't do that. Well, if she feels that way, yes, you have. You have to say, okay, babe, listen, I want to help you. Help me. I want to help carry this burden that you're carrying. So a lot of times, ladies, the peace can come as you just begin to open up and share with your husband. And the last thing is this. Is Holy Spirit always operates in lines of authority. This is why you have me here, Pastor Richard, Pastor Ron, a prayer team standing out front, community group leaders, because we're here to stand with you and to pray with you. We love you. Our responsibility is to shepherd your soul, to help you make wise decisions, to make sure that you're hearing God correctly. But you know what? You have to come tell us. Every single Sunday, I am standing, Pastor Richard and I are standing right here down front, every Sunday. We're not just doing that because we want you to look at us. We are making ourselves available to you because we truly do care. And we want to help you make sure that you are hearing the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet, and we're just going to invite this helper into our life today. Maybe for the first time. Maybe he's already in there because you're born again. It's just you're becoming aware of it. Or maybe it's really, maybe you've been serving God for a while, and you know what? You're coming back in tune with the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that we can talk to you. You're our comforter, our counselor. We can ask you questions. Today, your word says, Lord, that we can ask and we shall receive. So we ask that this helper would come in a greater way in Jesus' name. Pastor Ron's going to lead us in a song.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be Lord, your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts
Guys, the Bible says that where two or more gathered, the Lord is there. The Lord is in this place. You know, as we are worshiping God and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, I really feel that many of you guys may need to have a reset with your relationship with God. For some of you, you've made a mess of your life. You've made a mess of a relationship with God you once had. And today, the Holy Spirit is saying you need to push the reset button. And it's not too late for you. You haven't gone too far. Matter of fact, the Lord is here even now. And I want to begin to pray for you, but just know that God is in this place. He wants to have a relationship with you like you've never, ever imagined before. And He has a relationship with you through the Holy Spirit. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my friends. I pray for this church. God, I pray that you would come in this place, and not just come in this place, but you would begin to come into hearts that are needing you, God. Father, I believe that there are people in here that feel like they need to start over again in life, but more importantly, start over again with you. Things haven't turned out the way they thought they would. Maybe they've strayed from you. And they didn't think that they would ever be able to come back. They didn't feel worthy. But Lord, we're saying today, God, that we need you. And we thank you, God, that you don't turn us away. Your word says that you would never turn your back on us and you would never leave us. You would never forsake us. And right now, maybe if that's you, I want to pray specifically for you. Maybe you're in here today and you didn't plan on encountering God in a personal way. But this is the God that we serve. We serve a very personal God who knows you and has known you your entire life. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my friends that are searching for you. Those that are crying out silently, even now, for you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill my friends with your love and your grace and your mercy. And even now, if I'm talking to you under your breath, you don't have to make a scene. You can simply say, Lord, fill me with your presence. You can simply say, Lord, I need you right now. You can simply say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I need you. You can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life right now. He will forgive you. He will wipe away everything you've ever done against God. And in the eyes of God, you can be pure. You can be whole. You can have peace. So, Father, I pray that for my friends right now who are crying out to you, who are calling out on your name. And we thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Come on, church, let's say amen. Come on, somebody just got free and gave their life to Christ. Let's give the Lord a big praise. Amen. Guys, before we leave today, I have a couple of announcements, but I also want to invite our prayer team up here. If you guys need prayer in any way, maybe the Holy Spirit was speaking to you and you just want somebody to talk to and to pray for you, we will be up here after church. I wanted to let you know if you are a middle school or a high schooler, Rush is going to be tonight at 5:30. You are invited. If you've got a high school or a middle school student, you're invited tonight at Rush. It's going to be an amazing time. Also, if you're a middle school or a high school girl, there's going to be a conference specifically for you coming up in the weeks to come. And it's going to be called Secure. We'll be telling you more about that in the weeks to come as well. And I just want to pray for you as we leave today. And also, we talked earlier about the Festival of the Nations. If you would like to be involved with the Festival of the Nations, maybe you want to represent a nation, represent a country, maybe you just want to help out, you can sign that connection card that's in the seat back in front of you and take it out to our connection table. right outside in our lobby, our connection point table. It is there for you. You can help out. That would be a great service to us. Father, thank you so much for our friends. Thank you, God, for this message. I pray, Father, that you would be with us. And God, you would bless every family, every individual this week, God, in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You guys are dismissed. We'll see you guys next week. Don't forget to invite a friend.